is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
The American economy, the global economy. Here in these weeks of doubts about the war in Ukraine, we look to the future. Question of prices for energy, prices for food, and the commodity prices around the world that many emerging economies depend upon. I welcome Liz Peek, a columnist at The Hill, a columnist at Fox News, much on Fox Business, to comment first on monetary policy. That is the money paid, the rates paid by the best customers, the Federal Reserve rate. Liz, an article at The Wall Street Journal in these last hours features John Williams of the Federal Reserve Board. I believe he's president of the New York Board. And his remarks are well taken. Tighter monetary policy has begun to cool demand and reduce inflationary pressures, but our job is not yet done. That is a promising remark from a Federal Reserve governor, chiefly because within easy memory of 24 hours, the word dovish appeared in reporting on the federal governors, talking about perhaps we've tightened too fast, too high, and we should back off. How do you measure Mr. Williams? Is he making it clear that Jerome Powell will stay the course? Good evening to you, Liz.
Good evening. I think that's exactly what he's doing. Not only did he talk about the job ahead of them, but it also talked about how inflation is basically deeply embedded in the economy. And I think that's kind of the difference. And that's why we've had some disappointing inflation reports over the last month or two, even as commodity prices have come down in many instances, like lumber and copper and wheat and so forth, from their peaks, which were gigantic. And we've seen a settling down of commodities markets in general. And outlier things like used car prices have come down. Remember, those at one point were up 30-40% year over year and so forth. The problem is the recent reporting shows that pricing prices continue to increase sort of across the board. And I think, you know, you and I have talked about this. I think one of the reasons for that is you begin to see labor become a bigger and bigger part of the inflation story. Wage demands have gone up. I don't know anybody who has employees who have not been asked for a raise, to give them a raise, because after all, their cost of living is going up when they go to the grocery store and food is 13% more expensive than it was a year ago. They expect to see their wages increase. So real wages are going down for the American worker, but that doesn't mean that the increases still don't feed through into higher prices across the board. Another reason people have been overly optimistic about inflation reports has been the very strong dollar, which obviously drives down the cost of imported goods. And that, too, is expected to have benefited American consumers and to show up in the CPI reads that we've gotten. So we have another report coming up late next week. We'll see whether the numbers really begin to moderate. I mean, some of the economists I follow on Wall Street, Ed Hyman, for example, at ISI Group, who I think is an extremely good economist, he has been very optimistic that the inflation numbers would begin to tumble, and they simply haven't. And I think, like a lot of people, he's sort of scratching his head. But I think the message from the Fed, and I have to say, you find a sort of disquieting range of opinion from these Fed governors. But from Williams' comments yesterday, it's like, yeah, things are probably going to get better, but we're a long way from 2%. I think that's what, at the end of the day, the market is really struggling with. Whether inflation comes in, let's say you have a really terrific CPI report and it's down to 7% from 8+, which was lower than 9.1 in June, nonetheless, it's not going to be anywhere close to 2. And so the pressure on the Fed to continue raising rates or keep them at quite elevated levels compared to recent years is going to remain.
The governor, Mr. Williams, spoke of durable goods as well, Liz, not just commodities. Mm-hmm. And he spoke mm-hmm. and he speaks of these goods remaining expensive for a long time, despite the supply chains. That says that there are many economies that are going to struggle to keep up. Not if you just don't look at the American economy, but our trading partners, there will be strains going forward, no matter what what the resolution is in the war in Europe. And my understanding then is that this is the new normal. We're not going to revert to where we were before.
Well, Europe, of course, has the problem of dealing with a very strong dollar. And so they're paying more for everything. And then they have an even more painful experience right now with energy. Energy costs have gone through the roof in England, also on the continent. And, you know, there really is no quick fix for this. I mean, yesterday there were headlines, in fact, over the weekend that OPEC wanted to cut oil production. Why? Because oil went from roughly 100 to 85, and various members of OPEC Plus, most notably Russia, really need the increased revenues of $100 a barrel to balance their budget. Right now, their budget has fallen into deficit, and they want to correct that as the cost of the Ukraine war continues to expand. So Europe has, we're dealing with higher energy costs too, no doubt about it, but Europe is really in trouble. They've had to scramble around to replace the natural gas coming in from the Nord Stream pipeline and have been overly optimistic about using renewables. So they're buying all kinds of natural gas, coal, et cetera, at very elevated prices. So they really have an energy problem. We have an energy problem too. Thankfully, it's not quite so bad. But one of the things, and Williams, as you mentioned, yes, durable goods, why is that significant? Again, commodity prices can top out or come down, but you've already bought those commodities and put them in products like durable goods, which have inflated the cost of durable goods. I'm sure you've talked to people, I have, running companies or trying to build a house or whatever, everything has gone up in price. And whether or not the commodities markets, you know, are giving a little reprieve, that really doesn't affect what you're paying right now. It's throughout the system. It's systemic now that the costs have gone up. And it becomes incredibly hard to stamp that out. And I think that's why people have been so very critical of the Fed waiting so long to begin to hike rates, to begin to draw down their balance sheet. By the way, that's now become very aggressive. I mean, there's no, you know, the money supply has shrunk dramatically. And that's another reason people are surprised, disappointed that the inflation numbers haven't been better. So, you know, let's hope over the next 2 or 3 months that we begin to see better inflation reads and that the Fed can at least envision a time, you know, a year from now, possibly, where they no longer have their foot on the brake so heavily. Because right now, that's not, I mean, it was great to see the markets trade higher yesterday. I hope it continues. But analysts are just beginning to bring down earnings estimates for the S&P 500 companies. You know, the estimates are coming in. But I looked at a survey of institutional investors yesterday. It is way more pessimistic than the official forecasts of things like earnings and interest rates. 100% expect a recession next year. You know, that's not very comforting.
A recession next year, that's something I've been watching, Liz, from the point of view of food security. We now have reason to believe that the lack of fertilizer throughout the global south and the developing world is going to lead to shortages next year, which has an add-on effect of increasing crises around the United States, not just here. Our food prices are up. I wanted to concentrate on one thing, Liz. You talked about OPEC cutting back its production in order to increase the price of a barrel of oil. Will that lead to higher gasoline prices here the way it did last winter? Is that a one-to-one effect?
Well, there are a couple of things. First of all, OPEC has not been, reportedly is not producing at its targeted stated level now. So it's conceivable they're going to cut production in theory, but it really won't have much impact on the amount of oil going out to the market. That's unclear. If they cut production, a large part of the responsibility for doing that always falls on Saudi Arabia. So we'll kind of see over the next 2 or 3 months whether, in fact, it has much impact. Yesterday, oil prices went up 5%, I think closed up 4% on the announcement of a proposed production cut. So it's clear that traders felt like, yes, it would have some impact. oil prices go up, gasoline prices will follow. There's no doubt about it. It's not like there's a huge cushion of inventory or whatever that softens the blow. It's pretty much directly feeds into the U.S. consumer. But I would also say right now, John, the bigger interest right now in the United States is really on natural gas and what people are going to be paying to heat their homes. We're now in the home heating season. You know, fuel oil, heating oil certainly is going to be a part of that. Also, natural gas, where prices also have gone up exponentially in recent months. And if people start really focusing on their electricity bill, they're going to be pretty shocked. And that's another reason, by the way, why inflation is embedded, because the cost of power, to power your factory, to power your home, it's going to be surprising to the consumer to see how much those costs have increased. And unfortunately, there's no end of sight in that. I think that's going to be the focus over the next several months.
Right. One detail is, I'm seeing reporting from California with my correspondent of $6, $7, and $8 a gallon regular gasoline. Now, there are problems, particularly to California, refineries being offline at the same time, pipelines not prevalent the way they are in the East Coast. But I recall the prices started climbing in California before they climbed back east the last time. Is there a suggestion here that prices are climbing regardless of what OPEC does?
Well, gasoline prices have bottomed and have increased. Remember, they went down for 98 consecutive days.
Right.
And it was a very great benefit to American consumers. They did stop going down about, I think, 2 weeks ago, and now are up in some states 10 to 15 cents a gallon. So it is increasing. And I think, you know, there's divided opinion on this, but there are some people who think that's going to continue just because oil prices aren't going down any further. And because of the way the refinery runs work, that basically we're looking at probably an increase going forward. Now, one thing that's sort of altering this or influencing it is the release of oil from the Strategic Petroleum Reserve, which has been running a million barrels a day. And the president has very artfully arranged for those deliveries to continue through Election Day. The program was supposed to end the end of October. Now it's going to continue. So that is definitely helping. But we'll see whether the program stops after that or not. If it does, that's a million barrels a day taken off the market. That's pretty consequential. And if it lines up with also a million barrels a day being taken off the market by OPEC, you'll be looking at substantial increases in oil and gasoline prices.
As Liz mentions, there's an election within weeks. We have frequent elections in the United States for those of you listening in China. And we entertain ourselves with repeating ourselves each time there's a new election. When we come back, we'll repeat something everybody knows. It's the pocketbook. I'm John Batchelor.